Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. It's the Roush Hour with Nick Roush, Kentucky Sports Radio. How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing great. A little busy. It's first time I'm hitting the road this week. So, you know, I'm trying to stay on routine, but there's more to do. And we got to go to Williams-Brice Stadium this weekend and listen to Sandstorm. What a darude around the corner. So I'm getting geared up and fired up. I'm trying something this year, Michael, that I don't think I've ever done during an SEC football season.
What's that?
Exercise.
Oh.
Yeah. And normally it's like, you know, like that season, it's just there's too much going on. But we're trying to keep it regular. I did something today I haven't done since high school. I was flipping a tire. Felt like I was getting back out there on the football field just throwing that thing around.
You know, you just gave me an idea. The perfect content. We need Roush. We need Cousin Shane flipping tires out there.
Well, I have. What if I just flipped him? Right? Like, that'd be a pretty good, like.
Well, hey, so Kentucky was on a bye last week, so I would imagine that you got your fill of SEC action on Saturday. What was the biggest takeaways for Nick Roush?
I have a lot of them, but first and foremost, Auburn fans have a gripe. They have a real gripe, even though I don't think they're the better team necessarily. Like that, but they, I feel like I've been there as a Kentucky fan many a times where just it's like refs, what are we doing here? I mean, first and foremost, how is that call overturned on the field? I don't understand that. That is a scoop and score. Easy. Same thing that happened last year. I still don't know how Zion Childress, he had the pick six against Georgia. I don't know how they took it off the board. If you let it play out on the field, it should be a higher bar to pass to be able to be overturned. So I didn't get that. One thing Auburn finally did that big sumbitch Cam Coleman, they finally threw it to him. And when they didn't throw it to him, Oklahoma just tackled him. So, like, I don't know. It feels like there's probably, like, 45 yards more in pass interference penalties. But ultimately what happened is what I thought would happen is that you were going to have to make Jackson Arnold go win you a football game. John Mateer, he went and won the football game for Oklahoma. Jackson Arnold couldn't do that. I think the biggest surprise of this all, though, Mike, is I was told that this was the best Auburn offensive line in a millennium, right? Like, this was supposed to be – they were supposed to be the biggest, baddest some bitches in the league. And 10 sacks? 10 sacks? Our Mason Thomas didn't even play for a half. Didn't even play for the first half. It could have been 20. I don't know how much of it is on – Arnold for just being too hesitant to get the ball out of his hands versus like, holy crap, that Oklahoma defense is awesome. So I think we have a clear cut. Like, I think we know who the three best defenses are, and that's Oklahoma, Auburn, and LSU. And LSU is going to get a real test this weekend. I want to put Florida up in there, Mike, but they're going to quit, right? Like, they're going to quit so fast. They're going to quit quicker than Zach Calzada, right? Like, it's going to be over with soon enough, but we can get to them later. They annoy me. I don't want to spend too much time on it. But that Oklahoma defense, that was insane. And all right, over on my bookie, I got the Sooners at -6.5. Boy, did that safety feel good. Woo! That's how you cover a spread right there. Shout out to our – it went penalty, sack. Like, what a way to – like, if you're an Oklahoma fan after that game, you had to just, like, want to rip your shirt off. Just, like, that is football, and that's a way that they haven't won a lot and that they're going to have to do in the SEC. So the fact that they've got the nice little balance of Brent Venables' defense with Justin F. John Mateer, like – That was a great win. Great win for the Sooners. Their biggest win since they got to the SEC.
Hey, let me ask you one team, though, I think you're overlooking when it comes to great defenses, perhaps Texas. Now, I could fault you for saying, well, hell, they've Yeah, they look good against Ohio State, but, you know, we should not crown them for Sam Houston, UTEP, and San Jose. Like, they got to prove it. But
yeah.
I think by the end of the year, they'll be certainly in that conversation. And
true.
But when we get to the Red River, God, I mean, those may be the best two defenses in the conference. So that's going to be something to see.
Take the under. Take the under. you know, there is one thing about Oklahoma, and I even asked some people I know down there, like, what the hell's going on with Jay Knott? Like, I thought in that, in the Michigan, it was like, okay, well, they can run the ball some, but, like, Jay Knott has 17, where I wrote it down here, 9 carries for 17 yards in 3 games. And he's not on the injury report, but it's so weird. Like, I can't understand it. They cannot run the ball at all. And I know,
right?
Like, you're running in the teeth of one of the best run defenses in college football. I get it. But
that's going to catch up to them eventually.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, like, I don't know what the hell's going on with Jay Knott. But, like, if Jim Nagy's golden goose doesn't work out, like, they just don't have a whole lot there. And then you get to a point where you're asking Mateer to do too much, you know. That's mm-hmm. That could be a recipe for disaster if they can't get that part figured out. But I'm not going to judge them too harshly. Auburn's rush defense is good. I'm just is this the start of the Hugh Freeze spiral? How long? You know what I mean? Like, is this because they still looked the part? But here's the thing: how are they going to score against Texas A&M? I mean, like, what? Not to say that A&M's defense is good, but the question that I had, Mike, was can Auburn score 24 points in that game? Because you have to score to keep up with Marcell Reed and Co. You just have to. But mm-hmm. I don't know if they can score 24 points because that requires Jackson Arnold to throw a football forward, and I don't know. I also don't know. When do you try out the freshman? Probably not soon, but the Boise – or was it Stanford transfer? Wherever that guy was from, I think he was from Stanford. Now I can't think of his name. Ashton Daniels? Yeah. He was good at Stanford. I watched them knock off Louisville. He was a one-man wrecking crew there. Surely he can't be – I mean, is he that much worse than what Jackson Arnold is doing for you right now? There's something going on with Jackson Arnold, and it's almost like we've said this before – about Hugh Freeze quarterbacks at Auburn. It's weird. I can't figure it out.
two things with that. Are you surprised Hugh Freeze has not thrown Jackson Arnold under the bus yet after that performance? Would be one. And then I don't know if this is true. I don't believe a damn word that comes out of Hugh Freeze's mouth. But mm-hmm. I don't know if you have seen this on the Auburn. I guess he does like some radio show. They all do them. And mm-hmm. on the radio show, he said Greg Sankey called him. And said he felt bad about the officiating. Do you believe that really happened?
I mean, that is the most Hugh Freeze sounding. Like, you know, I talked to old Greg, and he felt real bad about how things were going. And, I mean, the SEC did do something that they almost never do, and that is, I mean, really any league in general, right? Like, they'll go out and issue these statements. And they actually went out and made a statement like, hey, we got this one wrong.
I don't remember them ever doing that.
I can't.
Not in a conference game.
No. I mean, maybe you would say, like, that should have been reviewed.
Right.
I do think they were making too big a stink over the substitution one, though, because, like, that – if you tell the officials, hey, we're going to try to do this before the game – and then you do it. I mean, sometimes you get got. They got got. Basically, I've seen Kentucky do that twice in a game, all right, to Florida. And it was it was a kick in the groin, like, twice over. So, like, I don't feel too sorry for him in that regard. But I still cannot explain the overturn. I cannot explain the overturn. And then some of the PIs or lack thereof. I get it. You're the road team. You shouldn't expect all of those calls, But you would have thought they would have got one or two more go their way. I still don't know if it ultimately makes a difference because Jackson Arnold has to go and do something.
Right.
And that's really, I mean, push came to shove. Those teams are very even, and ultimately the better quarterback won that football game.
Mm-hmm. Hey, speaking of winning, shout out our most loyal cousin, JR. He gifted another membership. I want to give him a shout out here.
Shout out, Legend. JR.
Cousin JR has done it again.
Thank you, JR. He has gifted Demas Arundo. Demas, welcome to the family, courtesy of JR. We appreciate you, buddy.
Oh, man. Liquid Flames got me down in the comments. There was some random fan named Craig Stanky on the phone. He feels real bad about it.
Look at this name, Vols Fitty, UK's daddy. He gave us $2. So I'm just giving him a shout out for the name.
Okay. Well, yeah. Hey, Cats didn't lose last week, all right?
Hey, maybe. Well, speaking of losing,
yeah,
who the Cats got this week, I know you'll enjoy this, but Carolina went down on the road to Missouri 29-20, and I think Ahmad Hardy is still running on the Gamecocks defense.
He is incredible. I want to start with Missouri, and then I'll transition over to South Carolina because you have to give them their flowers for kind of playing not the way they want to play, but keeping those long, methodical drives alive, using Prabula's legs, but mostly like turn around and hand the ball off to that big number 29, Ahmad Hardy. He is incredible.
Kentucky tried to get him, right?
He was going to go to Kentucky, and Drink enters the picture. He ups the offer. And essentially what happened is Kentucky had missed out on one offensive tackle. And they're like, we can't get into a bidding war of a running back. If we don't have an offensive tackle, we can't afford to spend that money.
Yeah.
It would be really like if this was a year ago and they couldn't run the ball at all, you'd be yelling and kicking and screaming. But Seth McGowan has 6 rushing touchdowns. Like they've got a decent running game. But with that being said, Ahmad Hardy, he looks like an old school Mark Stoops back where you just give it to him 30 times and he'll get 7, 8, 9 yards of carry and just do the damn thing. He wasn't incredibly explosive, but he didn't have to be. And that was he's just so much fun to watch. Like just 3, 4 guys on him, it don't matter. I'm just going to drag him across the pile, drag him across and drag Missouri to a win. And that's something where I mentioned this a couple of weeks back, but man, it's a big night game. And if you win this one, you really see that big opportunity down the road after the bye where you got Bama, Auburn, and Vanderbilt, and A&M. Like you got 4 big games lined up. You win this one, you kind of like say, oh, this could be something special. And Drink gets his guys ready for these big games, man. He gets these guys ready. And I mentioned already too, but he knew that Missouri was – or what South Carolina's game plan was going to be. And that's the part that I think is just so damning about South Carolina. Styles make fights, right? Styles make fights. And South Carolina got Missouri to play their way. They even had a positive turnover margin in this game. But they gave up a handful of sacks. And then here's the thing. If you're going to shrink the game, Mr. Bratton, you got to capitalize on opportunities. So let's go through their second half drive chart, shall we?
Mm-hmm. Please don't.
8 plays, 49 yards, field goal. 9 plays, 56 yards, field goal. And then they went incomplete pass, 3-yard pass, incomplete pass, punt. Seller scramble, incomplete, punt. And then turnover on downs to end the game.
And one of those field goals, they got all the way down to the 2-yard line.
Remember when we thought it was crazy that South Carolina overpaid for Rocket Sanders last year? Why didn't they go overpay for a running back? They cannot run the football. And like, in order to... It's just all sellers or nothing. He mm-hmm. has to do everything. And like, if you look at the stats, it's like, you know, that's not too shabby. I mean, 300 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. Like, okay. Hey, Mike, is it, is -9 rushing yards good? Is that good?
No, and particularly when you give up damn near 300 to the opponent.
They gave up. They were minus 290. Or it was a 294-yard difference in rushing yards between the teams. Like, how are you supposed to do that when you try to shrink the game to win it? I don't understand it. And, like, that's the other part, too. Like, if you think you have this bad – I don't understand it. And it really, like, big picture-wise, if Mark Stoops was worth a rat's ass after a bye week, like, this is – I'm putting in Sharpie. Cats are winning. Because, like, this game coming up on Saturday is built for, like, South Carolina showed it. They want to play like Kentucky. Can they out-Kentucky? Like, are you really – you're going to try to shrink in the game, run the damn ball? No, what? That doesn't – Beamer, that's not how you win. You win by just having Swain return punts. That's their best offense now. He's got 3 punt return touchdowns and 7 returns. But that is the stat that is giving me some pause, though, is that, A, we know how South Carolina's pass rush works. They can get after you. Dylan Stewart's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
B, you want to hear Stoops' record off of bye?
Let's hear it.
Against SEC foes, he is 5-9 and 2-12 against the spread. He's not much better against the G5 teams. It's 6-10, 4-12 ATS. Like, they are so bad off of bye weeks. And South Carolina, it feels like this is a game for both teams that you win it and you have a chance to have a good season. You lose it and you're dead. Because I know the Gamecocks have a bye, but you got to go to LSU. Are they going to score points against that Oklahoma defense? Hell no. And then you got Bama and Ole Miss. Like, that is a brutal schedule. And in Kentucky, they got 3 playoff teams back to back to back. You go on after South Carolina, you go to Georgia, and then you got Texas and Tennessee. So, like, for each team, there is some opportunity down the road. But if you can't bank one SEC win before a brutal October, it feels like things are going to spiral. And they might spiral faster for Mark Stoops because of just like the weight on his shoulders for a while. Mm-hmm. But this is I know that is probably the least anticipated of all of this. Like, it's a huge Saturday that we're going to talk about, Mike. But that is a low-key enormous game if you enjoy Schadenfreude, because people are either going to be calling for Mark Stoops to get fired, or they're going to be just really dogging Shane Beamer. And he's going to have to – I mean, he is going to be wearing out those dry erase markers. Like, somebody send a pack to the football facility so he can write all the bulletin board material there. Is this going to be a lot?
Hey, but true or false, though, this was a similar situation last year. Because South Carolina had struggled against Old Dominion, and Shane came on his damn show and said, "Hey, I'm predicting it now. Shane Beamer's first coach fired in the SEC. Like, that's how confident he was that Kentucky was going to whoop their ass, and South Carolina looks completely lost on offense. And this was the game that kind of turned it around. So, I mean, there are some parallels, don't you think?
Certainly, and especially because." You know, Kentucky's going to be playing a redshirt freshman in his first SEC start on the road. He got a cup of coffee in the second half of the Texas game and played well. That was in the daytime. The game was out of reach. The crowd wasn't very rowdy. And Williams-Brice Stadium is a whole other animal. As much as Sandstorm and the cock-a-doodle-doo might annoy the bejesus out of me, it's low-key. I know Tiger Stadium or Kyle Field are going to be your 1-2. But South Carolina, pound for pound, has the best atmosphere for a game. It's incredible there. So it's going to be rowdy. It's going to be lively. They're going to be putting pressure on that young quarterback.
I would maybe caveat this, though, because I don't disagree with what you just said. But no disrespect to Kentucky. They've already lost to Vanderbilt at home. You know,
Ole Miss at home. Oh yeah, you're right. Andy did lose at home. Yeah, correct.
South Carolina lost at home already.
Yeah.
And their fans, are they going to be ratcheting it up to 10 for a night game for Kentucky? As opposed to an Alabama or a Georgia or a Tennessee. I think that they're great fans, they'll show up, but I think they're at a 7 at the most this week.
Yeah, but it is. I mean, we found out about the permanent SEC rivals yesterday from Chris Lowe, and South Carolina and Kentucky kind of are each other's best rivalry. I know that there are some other teams that are definitely better. They're going to be lumped into those groups, and maybe South Carolina likes to say that they're a bigger rival with Georgia. I don't know. But as far as fan bases don't like each other, and really what it comes down to, the late, great Jared Lorenzen, he used to talk about the Louisville rivalry. That game used to be played the first game of the year. He was like, if you win that game, you can have a good year. If you don't win it, you can't. Neither team can have a good year unless they beat the other. I mean, it's just like pretty plain and simple, right? Like if you lose, if Kentucky loses to South Carolina or South Carolina's, like you're just going to have a bad year. It's hard to overcome that because you're right here. Mm-hmm. So I think it will be a good crowd, good solid crowd.
I remember years and years and years under, I guess it was Muschamp and, mm-hmm. and then, you know, whoever the hell the South Carolina coach was throughout the years, but they would always say, we're better than Kentucky. Yet they beat us.
Yeah, I mean
for a while it was Kentucky was kind of dominating it.
Yeah, and here's how those games would go too. It would be a knockdown, drag them out, and it would be a ugly, ugly slugfest. And Kentucky would make the plays at the end. They would win. You know, there was a scoop and score off of a 2-point conversion that ultimately helped them win one. There was a tip pass, pick six that helped them win one. You have these sort of random plays. And as bad as the blowout was last year, Kentucky stripped Sellers twice in the third quarter, didn't fall on the ball. South Carolina goes and scores a touchdown, changes the game. So this game is going to be ugly. It's going to be low scoring, but you will get to a point where, like third or fourth quarter, something's going to happen, and it's going to turn it on its head and ultimately change both team seasons and potentially both head coaches' seasons. Because, I mean, I know leaving – an SEC program to go to an ACC program is just idiocy.
Mm-hmm.
But Shane Beamer likes being liked. It's like Michael Scott. It's his need to be praised. And if things get bad there, he might just say, you know what? I can go back to Blacksburg. It can be a homecoming.
Dude, I've never thought of it like that, but that he just
like he, you know what I mean? Like, if there's anybody who's just like actually being a coach in the ACC and winning with special teams, like it's a league you can win easily, and everybody's gonna love him there because of his last name. They're never gonna be mean to old Shane Beamer. Just saying.
Hey, I want you to look at this schedule.
Yep.
Don't answer yet because I want to go back to your face because I want to see the smile when you answer it. But from a scale of 0 to 100, South Carolina, we're 2-2. We got Kentucky at home. We got a bye week. We're at LSU, Oklahoma at home, Bam at home, at Ole Miss, a second bye week, at A&M, Coastal Carolina at home, Clemson at home. 0 to 100, Nick. Likelihood South Carolina is going to a bowl game.
25%.
Oh, that's maybe even higher than I thought you'd go. But yeah. I mean, how dire things have gotten. Because hell, it was. I mean, they thought they were going to the playoff 2 weeks ago. You know what I mean?
Well, because you would think Clemson and Coastal would get you to 4.
Right.
You'd probably beat Kentucky. Go. I mean, you've beaten them 3 years in a row. If you can't beat them 4 years in a row, like, what does that say about your coach and your superstar quarterback? And that's really what it comes down to, right? Is that. Well, Norris Sellers was coming off of a head injury. He still is a bona fide badass, a superstar. He should be able to steal you a win here or there unless they can't figure out the running game. If they can't figure out the running game, I mean, they're not going to be able to run the ball this week. They're going to have to throw everything's going to have to be out in the perimeter because that's kind of the playbook on Kentucky's defense. They struggle to tackle in open space, but they're very stout in the middle. So, they're going to try to get things to the edge to create big plays. I don't know if that big defensive end, Nick Harbor, can make people miss, but we'll see. So it's going to be – it's not going to be as near as fun as Georgia-Alabama, but it is a big game with some huge, huge long-term consequences.
And then one other question exiting that game. Mm-hmm. If Ahmad Hardy continues to beast over college football and Bo Prabula, who he's slowed down a little bit, you know, as the competition ramps up, but I still think he is – maybe the biggest surprise in a good way quarterback in the Southeastern Conference. If he continues to play well and Hardy continues to go beast mode, same question, 0 out of 100. What is the likelihood that Missouri makes the college football playoff, you think?
The thing that it helps and hurts them is that their schedule does look more difficult, which is a good thing because right. people are going to be crapping on you if you lose two games. But it's also a bad thing because, I mean, you could very easily lose two games. I think ultimately what it comes down to, Mike, is like how much wiggle room do you have in those road games? You know, like, because Auburn, Oklahoma, Vandy, you kind of got to win two because you got to win two of the three home games between Bama, A&M, and Miss State. And then the other part, I don't know if Bobby Petrino is going to be the coach or not for him, but like Taylen Green, that's some offense. That offense can go. Ultimately, right. you know what it feels like? It feels like this is going to be one of those deals where Pittman's fired and then Taylen Green gets like 50 points in the season finale and then just wrecks their chance of going to a playoff, right? Like they think they're there. And then you got a little late season rivalry spoiler. So I'm more bought in on Missouri. Like I'm really, some of this is an indictment on South Carolina just being a below average football team. So they've got to ramp it up some more. I think the team that I'm most fascinated about is just the team that you probably hate the most. And we're going to learn a lot about this weekend is Alabama. Cause like, who are they? You know? I mean, that Wisconsin game, like they didn't have to do anything. You're playing against one of the big dogs. The issue was that in that Florida State game, it's like they didn't give a damn. So like, how much of a give a damn do they have? And then is it Ryan Williams or bust for them? Like, is it just like if Ryan Williams plays well, they have a chance to beat Georgia? If he doesn't, they don't. It's as simple as that. That's kind of what I think, because I don't know who they have that's a dynamic playmaker. Whereas I look at that Georgia offense on the other side, and like, you know, London Humphreys ain't crazy, but like that's a pretty good ball player. Zachariah Branch, that's a pretty good ball player. Like they got a lot of A minus B plus guys where it's like Alabama has an A plus guy, and
Yeah, Alabama's getting some guys back from injury, including the starting running back, Jam Miller, one of their best defense, if not the best defensive lineman, Tim Keenan. He's coming off injury. So they're getting healthy at a good time here. And Ty Simpson's playing out of his damn mind. I don't think that will continue in Athens.
I don't think so either.
But I didn't think Joey Aguilar was going to carve up Georgia either, and yet he did it. You know what I mean? So
that's true.
I think this is going to be a real test. Who do you think has more pressure, though, Alabama or Georgia?
Georgia just beat a playoff team on the road. I think the pressure is on Bama because they've already got a loss on their resume. I know a loss to Kirby Smart doesn't necessarily ding you, but then it gives you no room for error moving down the stretch. Like, I know it's not exactly a gauntlet, but you can't really lose again if you want to be a playoff team. They lost three games last year. Look what happened. They got left out.
Well, one team we haven't mentioned yet, Nick, shout out Cousin Rick, one of our most loyal cousins.
It's Texas A&M's biggest fan, Cousin Rick. Gig'em Aggies.
Thank you, Rick. He gave us $20. A&M defense is going to have fun chasing Jackson Arnold all day. Marcel Reed makes a statement as the best quarterback. Gig'em beat the hell out of Auburn. Thoughts on that one, Nick? With A&M's had 2 weeks to prepare, and now they're facing a Auburn team that's still complaining about the referees.
I think if I'm an A&M fan, I'm just worried that you had a bye after that. Like, you almost wanted to keep playing because you played so well in that game, right? but Marcel Reed, here's the thing. Notre Dame's defense clearly isn't what we thought it would be going into the season. They took a big dip following that run of the national championship game. But I didn't know what to think of Marcel Reed going into this year. If he can carve up Auburn and that defense and avoid the pressure, like he's got that escapability to him, then you could start believing, okay, we're not only playoff good, we're like, hey, we can win a couple playoff games good. You know? Mm-hmm. And there's levels to all of this. Right now, they are in the contender sort of phase. But if Reed continues to move forward, then you're like, oh, snap. We might really have something here.
Which quarterback do you have more confidence going into that football game, Jackson Arnold or Marcel Reed?
I wouldn't trust Jackson Arnold to throw me across the street, right? You know, like, no. This is like a game of Frogger. I'm just going to get flattened. Incoming traffic.
Which receiving core do you like better with Cam Coleman, Eric Singleton, and then we got Casey Concepcion, Mario Craver? That's a hell of a 1-2 for each side.
I really thought going in this year that LSU might have the best combo, LSU or Auburn, but Craver is unreal.
They had the bye week last week, Nick. He still leads the conference in receiving yards.
That's crazy. And see, part of me, I'm just biased. I like the big sumbitches, right? Like the big X receiver. So like Cam Coleman, I'm just like, you see that guy and you're like, oh, that's an NFL player. But Craver's a great college football player. And Concepcion's been outstanding. I think they have somebody who can actually throw them the ball. So I'll take A&M's receivers over Auburn's.
Okay. Hey, shout out to Carolina Jackpot. You will not appreciate this, Kyle Bet, but he gave us $10. He's talking about Carolina, of course. We may not need to run the ball. Didn't this guy's team give up 300 yards in the air to something called Eastern Michigan? Yeah, I think they did.
No, that's true. That's a very valid concern for Kentucky. I think if you want to try to give it an excuse, you just say they had two starting cornerbacks hurt. So, like, you know, it happens. They picked off the first pass of the game and returned it to the 2-yard line, and they kind of put their foot off the gas. So, yeah, it's not ideal for Kentucky. It was supposed to be a strength of their team. They gave up 300 passing yards to Eastern Michigan. So, not exactly ideal. Even if you say, well, their quarterback was once starting at Michigan State. It don't matter. You can't give up that many yards against Eastern Michigan before you go and play future top five NFL draft pick. Surely the future top five NFL draft pick should be able to beat this team, right? Like, I mean, Sellers, he's just
– is Cutter Bowley better?
Here's the thing about Bowley is, like, he's not – he's not going to light you up with efficiency. You see that completion percentage there. He only completed
a lot of drops, passes. Man. These tight ends dropping touchdowns. I rewatched a game this morning. I was blown away by this guy.
Now, granted, one of those I thought should have been reviewed. Like I don't know how they didn't call it a touchdown.
Yeah,
but I mean, he had 12. It was 12 completions for 240 yards. Like he's pushing the ball down the field, and I think that's like. That's the formula they wanted to build with Calzada, but that dude just could not – he just can't throw the football. And I know he's hurt and he can't play. But at least Bowley, Kentucky had two passes, Mike. Was it two or three? They had two 20-plus yard passes in their first two games, and Bowley had seven in that one game. Like, if you that's like some – like they're trying to do some classic old-school Stoops ball, right? Like, let's run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Big pass play, run the ball, big pass play. Like, that's how you make the formula work. That formula works, though, if you can play some good defense behind it. They've been good up front. They're going to get some pressure on Sellers. But the question is, can their secondary tackle? So, if DJ Wall or Tyron Nichols, they're expected to be back. But, you know, we'll wait and see. Which,
not that South Carolina needs my advice, Nick, but if I was coaching them up this week, I would just say guard the tight ends, and we got this one.
Yeah, because the receivers are not good. Their tight ends are their best receivers for Kentucky. It's not great. Hey, I got a question for you, Mike. Why Lane Kiffin can't play Austin Simmons, can he?
I think he will if he's healthy.
Yeah, you should say that you're not healthy for another week, Austin Simmons, because – Trinidad Chambliss freaking rocks. That guy can run. Like, yeah, I just think he that running element. And I know that, you know, it's a little bit different playing against Tulane and I forgot who they had the week before.
Arkansas got awful defense.
Yeah, they couldn't stop a nosebleed. So it's a little bit different right? The who we've seen each quarterback against. But I think you got to roll a Trinidad in this game. I think you do. And then if it doesn't work, then you just say, all right, it's Simmons is a go from here. But you can't ditch the hot ham when it is as scalding hot as Chambliss is right now.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they're in like a new no-win situation here. And I'm talking Kiffin when it comes to the quarterbacks, because if Simmons comes out there and he throws an interception, fans are going to be like, that guy's dead to us, you know? And if old Chambliss comes out here and he plays well, well, we gotta keep him in there. But I don't know. This is a tricky spot here.
I'm starting to think that Lane might be a pretty good coach if he can have two quarterbacks. I mean, how many teams in the league would trade their guy for one of Lane's two? You know what I mean? Like, those, yeah. These guys are awesome. Here's one other thing about that game. We saw the picture of Landry Kiffin posted with old Whit Weeks. Is that who has the, like, does that, is that like Whit Weeks is, he's so confident that they can slow down Ole Miss's offense that he's like, it's okay, Landry, you can post that. Or is this just like, oh no, we gave Lane some bulletin board material. Watch out. Right? Like, he's, instead of showing up at the shotgun with the door, he shows up with Chambliss. He's like, here's 400 yards on your ass, Whit Weeks. We're gonna race up and down the football field all day.
Yeah, the only thing I can add to that is it's a unique family. I feel like a reality show is being pitched as we speak. That's where I'm at with all that.
I'm honestly shocked that they haven't. I mean, hell, SEC Network, you got all these Wright Thompson cooking shows. Do all the Keeping Up with the Kiffins, right? Like, it's perfect. Just let him go. Just let him cook. I thought Lane, like, he – the thing, especially with him, is he doesn't get – people think he's just shooting from the hip. Like, everything he does is intentional. This whole, like, I think Summerall's going to be in the SEC next year. And, you know, he just gives the other head coach one other thing to deal with before he goes and lights his ass up. Like Kiffin is much more strategical, pointed than you think. Like, I think a lot more has a purpose. And that's how he works as a play caller, too. Like, he's not taking shots just to take shots. There is a rhyme and a reason to it. I wonder in this game, like, does – it's a real chess match between him and Blake Baker, right? It reminds me, you know, watching NFL when Spags is just blitzing people to bejesus. Like, Baker is going to – he's going to dial him up. It's just how many times does Ole Miss have the shot correct and then the ball gets delivered at the right time? Mm-hmm. I would expect at least 17 points off of just like, hey, we're going to play aggressive and we're both going to play aggressive and blow up's going to happen. Really, I think what the game ultimately comes down to is the other side of the ball, because I don't know how good that Ole Miss defense is. And yes, Nussmeier and them kind of got right last week against a bad team, 55-0. But here's, I'm telling all of our friends here, when the player props come out, they're usually not out this early in the week. Take a closer look at Barry and Brown. There's something about Vaught Hemingway Stadium. I don't know what it is, but he's awesome in it. When Kentucky upset Ole Miss last year, he had the 60 some odd yard gain on fourth down. He also, the previous time they went to Ole Miss, had another 70-yard play that put him down in the red zone. They should have scored on the next play, had a flag wave off the go-ahead touchdown. I think he also had a kickoff return down to the 25 in that first game. And then in the second one, he had another big kickoff return called back. So, like, Barry and Brown, just watch him. I think he's gotten 160 yards and 9 catches in 2 games down there at Vaught Hemingway Stadium. And he got in the end zone finally. He got a little vengeance for that call being overturned in week 1 against Clemson. So he's been solid. This is his game where he just does the, oh, shit, here, watch out. Barry on Brown coming through. Wrecking ball.
Yeah, and, hey, to that point, I was looking this up as you were saying that because I knew this was an issue. Do you have any idea how many sacks Ole Miss defense has gotten this year?
They had three against Kentucky. So is it only three?
Well, you're going to be, well, it's very close. It's four, which is 115th in the country. So they are not getting to the quarterback aside from Kentucky. So if they sit back and cannot get to Nussmeier, I think Nuss will pick them apart.
No, you're exactly right, because I don't think those guys on the outside are particularly good. And I said earlier too, like I really believe in the talent that that LSU has at wide receiver. So this could be a little points of palooza, and it's what you want out of this game. It's exactly what you want out of this game. Just crazy back and forth, pew 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 pew, points everywhere.
Yes, and speaking of points everywhere, shout out Storm Chaser EJ at Team Mexi Ticks. He gifted 5 memberships. Nick, one to Miss Terry's Bathwater, one of my favorite names on the channel. Dalton.
Oh, God.
Dalton Barnett. Oh, you'll like this, Nick. Vols by Fitty, UK's daddy, got a gift membership. Robert Mayfield and M&M, you've all been gifted by Storm Chaser EJ. We appreciate you, buddy.
Welcome to the family.
You need to go out there with old Pate, chase them storms.
It'd be kind of fun. I like the Twister movies. Big fan.
Is this Nuss's breakout game?
Oh, man. It feels like it, doesn't it? Where it's just 5 touchdowns, 425 yards. It feels like it.
Miss Terry's Bathwater says, which week's going to give up at least 2 tutties? Let me ask you this, because I think this is a fair question, and I don't think there's a wrong answer here. But it seems like whoever I ask, they give me a different answer. Better head coach in this matchup, Brian Kelly or Lane Kiffin?
You got to consider the resumes, right?
Mm-hmm.
One has been to many playoffs. Granted, he was at Notre Dame. A lot easier to do that there. But one has also killed a guy. So, like, that, it's bad. There's also one who...
Isn't it fair to say Kiffin probably would have gotten LSU to the playoff by now?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Lane is just the best play caller. And to convince Pete Golding to come over with him and then to get the trench talent they got last year. But on the here's the other part, too, Mike. They should not have missed the playoff last year. They had no misses losing to Kentucky and Florida. Like, you can lose one of them. You can't lose both. So I'm going to give Brian Kelly the upper hand.
Okay.
Even though if I'm like, I need to win one game and I need somebody to get this offense right, I'd probably say Lane. But over a full season, Kelly's resume speaks a little bit louder.
Hey, one game we haven't talked about, and I think it's got big implications here, Nick. Tennessee, mighty Tennessee, your favorite team on the road at Mississippi State. Mississippi State is undefeated. And if there's one knock a Tennessee guy could have on old Josh Heupel, I think he's top 10 coach in the nation. But if there is a knock on him, he loses these road games inexplicably at times. The line is only about a 7.5, unless it's changed. Thoughts on Tennessee going at Mississippi State?
Yeah, I would want to agree with you if this was A, wasn't the first road game, and B, it feels like it's been like this is on their radar enough, right? They should have their undivided attention, I would think. I think it's one of those games, too, where we read into that Arizona State game a little bit too much and like, oh, man, look at what Mississippi State's doing now. I kind of got a feeling that they're going to get their ass lit up by Tennessee. Just like 45-17 or something.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of cliche, but it's 100% true that it just means more. But not that it just means more, but it's much easier to beat an Arizona State than it is to beat possibly an elite conference team, right?
Yeah, I mean, that game, they played good for a half and terrible for another half. If you are that bad for that long, Tennessee will score 30 points in the blink of an eye. Like, it is what it is. They were fortunate to win that game. They had some balls bounce their way. And I'm not trying to diminish that win, too. Like, that was that's probably, like, one of my favorite moments in SEC play so far this year was to see that fan base get that win, to have that moment. I mean, what are the chances that Brennan Thompson just leaks behind the Vols secondary?
That's a weakness right now in Tennessee's defense, is a secondary.
Are McCoy and the other guy, what's their health status? Do we got any sense if they're going to be back or not?
They will not. Not for this game.
I'm probably not going to bet this game with my own hard-earned dollars, but it does feel like that Tennessee has the upper hand and should be able to overwhelm them by like the late third quarter, right? Like where Mississippi State might be able to keep up for a little bit, but ultimately, like to just
the way I look at it is like these are very similar teams in a sense or programs, but Tennessee is just years ahead.
Yeah, I mean,
whereas like State's got a good quarterback, I think Tennessee's got a better quarterback. State's got good receivers. I think Tennessee's got better receivers. They got good running backs. Tennessee's got better running backs. You know, it's
right.
They mirror each other, but Tennessee's just a little bit or much further ahead in the progression of building the program.
And I just trust Tennessee to be able to play a four-quarter football game where Mississippi State, can they – it feels like a boxer that has to land a knockout early, and if they don't, they're cooked. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they're going to have that knockout. I know that the Cowbells, that's a hell of a place to play. But, you know, Neyland Stadium, that's pretty loud too. So,
right.
I think Tennessee will take care of business. I know Mississippi State fans, their dream scenario is here. Like what they talked themselves into in the preseason.
It's all coming true.
I know. I know. So if they do it now, hey, listen, I would love to be wrong. It would be a real, real shame if I was wrong. And Jeff Levy knocked off Tennessee, but I can't really see it happening.
If Tennessee turns the ball over, that's how Mississippi State wins it, I think.
I still think they can turn the ball over. I think Aguilar could throw a couple picks as long as he's evening it out. Like that Georgia game feels like a very Joey Aguilar game.
Yeah,
just what you'll see from him from a regular basis: 300 yards, 4 touchdowns, 2 picks. You know, like. He's gonna rip it, and sometimes it's not gonna go your way. But you know what? You live to fight another day, and he'll get one of those back for you. He'll get one of those back.
Hey, any thoughts on Notre Dame at Arkansas? I mean, they're about ready to push Sam out the door now, but can he win them right back by beating Notre Dame? I mean, that would be a big game for Arkansas if they win it.
This might be a race to 50. 64 and a half feels insultingly low for these two teams that refuse to play defense at all. I cannot believe it is that low. Taylen Green, I selfishly just want him to win this game because, I mean, he is putting up almost Heisman-like numbers. And so, who's to say he can't be Jaden Daniels, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, that team, you just have to win enough, right? That team wasn't like did they win? Did they go to the SEC championship game?
No, they were 9-3.
They were okay. Yeah, it was the year before they went to the championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like if you can get to 8-4, Taylen, which I think Louisville was when Lamar Jackson won it all, either 8-4, 9-3. I don't know if they can get there because their defense is that bad, but Green's numbers are just incredible, and I think he's going to be able to do it against Notre Dame. This the key. The big thing is just like. Can you get out of your own big stupid way? Like fumbling while you're going to go get the go-ahead score. It just
fans don't want to hear it, but they are literally two plays away from being 4-0.
But see, that's the story of just Arkansas sports. Right? Like every sport, College World Series, we're going to drop a ball, it was your cat. You know what I mean? Like I kind of feel for him at times. Hey, but you got your Sweet 16 with Cal. So, you know what? Good for you.
Oh, yeah. I always forget about the bad blood. Did you see Cal tweeted he's going to be at the game with his team? Maybe that'll fire up the Razorbacks, play some defense, and beat Notre Dame.
Maybe. hey, at least he didn't quit, right? Auburn's coach quit on the first day of practice. So,
has basketball practice already started?
Started yesterday, and Bruce Pearl was like, I'm out. I'm definitely not going to run for Senate.
So he 1,000% did that at the timing so that his son could get the job, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's what basketball coaches do now. They retire or quit right before the year so you can't make a coaching change.
That's even worse.
It's so cowardice. Oh, it's disgusting. Like, these dudes get paid millions and millions of dollars, and they used to have no trouble quitting whenever because you couldn't transfer. Well, now that the portal's here, they're like, I know how to get them. We're going to wait till right before the year. And it was great. I love, there was a Bruce Pearl. There's a great tweet. It was Stephen A. Smith talking about how LeBron should be ashamed of using nepotism to get his son drafted. And Bruce Pearl's like, yeah, preach. Let me just go hire my son. And he has zero head coaching experience. And now he's going to get promoted to the head coach. Oh, he was the defensive coordinator. Oh, yeah, because defensive coordinators, that's a real thing in basketball. That's a real thing. That's a real job, not just something they made up.
He has threatened to fight Tennessee fans on social media, Auburn's new head coach.
He may have asked Kentucky Sports Radio to take down some not-so-flattering posts about him from back in the day. Stephen Pearl's got a real history. 38 ain't that old, right? We remember when you were on that team with all those terrible headbands. We remember.
Hey, I briefly showed this. The SEC reveal, the official reveals tonight. We're ahead of it. Thanks to Chris Lowe. Shout out Chris Lowe on three. But any thoughts on this, whether Kentucky or otherwise?
Yeah, my big thing is, big picture-wise, I feel like they did a great job in balance. Just overall, there's no super egregious. I can't believe they left this rivalry off the table, with maybe LSU Alabama being an exception. Mm-hmm. But you're already giving Bama a couple of rivals. There needs to be some yin and yang to these every year games. The part that I think I felt some sort of vindication on, some satisfaction, is that in my mind, this mattered. This was the most fun thing to do during July, is who are the three rivals, right? That's just fun to do. But it really is ultimately going to be determined by the other six teams, right? Mm-hmm. How balanced is your schedule afterwards? Most teams, they want to draw Vandy and Mississippi State, but are Vandy and Mississippi State necessarily good draws? Or would you rather have Kentucky and South Carolina be on your schedule that year, right? Those teams might be going in the wrong direction. So for me, I see Florida along with Tennessee and South Carolina, but Billy Napier's Florida ain't Steve Spurrier's Florida, there's some logo stuff that we're all going to get caught up in the mix when that gets released tonight. But ultimately, things are going to change a lot between now and, hell, especially 3 years from now when you get to that second end of the rotation. You might think, gosh, our schedule is so tough in 2028, when by the time it gets here, it might be a walk in the park.
Yeah, and the other thing to consider is, because it's a 9-game now, every other year you're either going to have five home games or four in conference is what I'm talking about. But, if you have a five, if it's a fiver for you this year, you're going to feel pretty confident about your chances. You know what?
Yeah. Well, and Kentucky and South Carolina, Georgia, they're the teams that in Florida, they have the ACC rivalries. So you already know, Kentucky's going out of the gate, 9-game SEC schedule and fiver on the road right off the jump. So
is that because they get Louisville at home?
Yeah, they're getting Louisville at home next year. So it's going to take some time to adjust to, but ultimately I'm just so glad it's happening. Georgia's never been to Kyle Field. A&M fans, they've never been over to Kentucky. There's been these long, long droughts. I can't wait to see Oklahoma. I've never been – Mark Stoops has never coached at Arkansas. He's the longest tenure coach in the SEC. He's never coached at Arkansas. So I'm ready to see Reynolds Razorback Stadium and go tear up a nine of the town in Fayetteville, which to all my friends in Columbia, I'll see you Friday. We'll have ourselves a good old time.
Wait, he beat Chad Morris, though. That must have been a home game, I guess.
Yeah, he beat Chad Morris at home.
Man.
With the wide receiver playing quarterback, yeah.
That must have been a fond memory. You know what? Is that one on the that you'll never forget?
Yeah, hey, it was wide receiver playing quarterback, so it was a good time.
Jason James, appreciate you, buddy. He just gifted a membership, Nick, right as we close out here to Andrew.
Shout out Jason.
Andrew, we appreciate you. Welcome to the family, courtesy
welcome
of Jason. Anything else, Nick, before we wrap this one up?
I'm just Columbia, South Carolina. It gets a little contentious down there, but it's one of my favorite SEC road trips. Groucho sandwiches to kick off a hangover. Maybe a little tender Friday night. Great sports weekend. Ryder Cup, too. We'll play off baseball in contention. Cincinnati Reds, are they going to make it? Like, all-time sports weekend. We're in the meat and potatoes of the SEC football schedule. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait for it all. And I'm happy to be hanging out with y'all here on that SEC podcast.
And before you go, remind the cousins how to follow you, how to find your work.
At Roush KSR on Twitter and KentuckySportsRadio.com on 3Sports.
All right, Nick, enjoy the weekend. It's going to be freaking epic. I think it's the best weekend to date in the SEC. We're going to be covering it all. We'll be back with Cousin Shane to preview all this action tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.